London.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
All right, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, 106.3 on the FM dial. Is Trent Condon, Ken Miller, back to local sports here on Des Moines Sports Station. Coming up on the BMW of Des Moines guest list here today, our final opportunity, kind of sad when this comes to these, as we love college football so much, and it does move the needle, but basketball season is upon us. We'll get into that coming up here in a moment. Boy, the Hawks looked good last night. But Stephen M. Sipple's last appearance on the show will put a bow on the Cornhuskers season as they finish, 3-5? They had a game canceled, so 3-5 was their final record. We'll do that with Sip. Bill Bender chimes on in here at 10:45. We'll talk college football with Bill Bender. He's a Heisman voter. He can't tell us who he voted for, but we'll go around college football with Bill Bender. Boy, BYU was... had their game last night.
Yes,
this
did.
Zach Wilson trend. Is he the second quarterback in the draft?
No.
Is he better than Fields?
No.
There's some personnel guys out there that would make that would debate that with you.
Does he have the requisite arm strength?
Yes.
You think so?
I do.
He can move around.
Yeah. Not maybe not to the extent Fields can, but yes.
Mm-hmm. He's good.
Yeah. He's really good.
If he's past that tier. I'm just trying to think selfishly for the Bears.
Oh.
The Bears are sitting there in the middle of the first round.
Yeah.
And you get past the Fields, and of course at the top with Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
That next group. Trey Lance, let's be honest.
We
really don't know.
We don't know. We saw the stats last year, all the touchdowns, no picks. This year he had one game and all eyes were on him. And I don't know, I'm not saying that he gagged.
Right.
But it was the only game they played.
Wilson, I remember watching
Kyle Trask, Mac Jones.
And out of that tier, yeah, I might like him the best out of that group. Out of that group of what do we name? Four guys there?
For the least, yeah.
I think, yeah, I'm not willing to go to the level of Fields. I know Fields did not look very good against Northwestern, but I'm still not there. This is a guy that... when he threw an incompletion in the first 3 weeks of the year, it was a shocker.
Yeah, remember those numbers he was putting up? Crazy before they went on pause. So we will talk to Bill Bender, get back to college football about 10:45. We've still got a KXNO shirt that we've been holding for today. We're going to do that to lead off the 11 o'clock hour. Those shirts are available at Buzz Prints. They all sizes, at least yesterday, everything was available, but they are flying off the shelves. Last-minute Christmas ideas. A holiday gift giving for the sports fan in your life or for you. If you would, they're a great look. They really are. So we'll give away one of those. And then Tom Kakerd on. We will get back to Iowa. We will do the basketball game from last night. And a week from today, ready or not, Hawks are supposed to play. They're scheduled to play in Nashville, the Music City Bowl, against Missouri. And I thought yesterday, Trent, we would get a little bit of clarity pursuant to the results of the tests of the players that were to come back yesterday. Is no news good news?
I would think so.
I'm taking it that way.
As you mentioned, we're a week away, and as you get closer and closer, now we've seen cancellations right up until when it's going to happen. But I think if Iowa felt like they were at a point where they were in real trouble, you look at yesterday, South Carolina opts out, now UAB doesn't have a game.
I know.
And you want to give that ability to some other teams to be able to fill in. Army got a spot right away.
Now, UAB's got to keep practicing, I would think. You think there's going to be, sadly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that this is not going to be it.
Right.
It's, 18 to 20% of every week's games in college football this year have been taken off the board. So it's going to be the same probably as it pertains to these bowl games. So because of that, I think if you're Iowa, it would be a very bad look to have this happening. No, you're not going to play and not say anything until Monday or Tuesday next week before you do that. So I think you're right. I think that's a fair step to take. We didn't hear anything. We weren't going to get the full report as we normally do on Mondays. Maybe next Monday we will get that full report in terms of numbers. But since there wasn't any cancellation, they didn't shut things down anymore. And remember, they're not practicing until, what is it, Friday or Saturday?
No, Friday, Christmas Day.
That they'll be able to get back on the field for that. So probably got the testing. All right, let's isolate the guys that we need to. And if we need to go to Nashville with 50 guys? We'll go to Nashville with 50 guys. Well, they're flying in the day before.
Indeed. They're flying in a week from yesterday. The game is a week from today. So not a lot of practice time. No. But Missouri's in the same boat. They're not going to practice, I don't think, until Sunday. Anyways, it's after Iowa's scheduled to get back on the field, which, again, is Christmas Day. So we'll see. We'll cross our fingers. We hope that it's happened. You said it yesterday, and I'm totally on board with this. Even if some of the, you know, the starters, if they are some of the COVID positives and they can't, play, and we air quote have to, because I don't see it that way, watch the backups, that's good.
Yes, that's,
I'm interested in that.
Maybe more interested than, yes, you want to see the best of your team if you're a Hawkeye fan, but for us, for what we do, for getting through the off season, and we're going to have some actual, instead of just speculation that we rely a lot on in June,
sure,
we're going to have real solid evidence that that Justin Britt, you know, who's an interior offensive lineman. All of a sudden, he's out there, and boy, we got to see him for 50 snaps, and it was really, or it was really bad. Whatever it turns out to be,
he's got some work to do.
Yes, Jack. We're going to be able to have those kind of things.
And in bowl season 2020, bowl season, I get the fact that it seems to that ESPN in a way has kind of not made the other bowls irrelevant, but they certainly what they once were. Mm-hmm. It used to be, I mean, 2020 Bowl Trophy doesn't have the shine, I don't think, that some of the others would, right? So you come home with the music, or you don't come home with the Music City. It's not that big of a deal if we get to that point. So we'll see. It's a week from today, and we haven't heard anything. We're going to go with a positive outlook. No news is good news. But if there is news, like you said, I would think that we would get that here today or tomorrow as they get back on the field on Friday. Well, the Hawks were on the hardwood last night, Trent Condon, against a nemesis, against a team that has given them fits. Boy, not last night. Here's my takeaway of this game. We know Garza's good. Is Joe Wieskamp a really different player this year? I'm talking aggressive, put the ball on the floor. He's kind of got a developed an I'm better than you attitude. That you can't stop me, this is what I'm going to do type of look. Last year, Trent, not timid, but maybe not the most aggressive. And look, everybody's different makeup, right? If Joe Wieskamp had Connor McCaffrey's kind of personality, or if Connor McCaffrey had Joe Wieskamp's basketball ability, you put those two together, you got something really good there. But watching Wieskamp, I'm seeing a different player, and that is huge news, positive news for Iowa.
This is a conversation we had back at the beginning of the season here 2-3 weeks ago, and it was my question if this team can be great, because they're going to be good. Everybody, it doesn't take a basketball savant to understand this team was going to be good coming into the year. But that final step, going from good to great, it wasn't for me about Luka Garza or Bohannon or any of the other guys that we talked about. It was Wieskamp. He is the second best player on this team.
Without a doubt.
In terms of talent.
I'm with you.
An NBA talent, he might have the most. You can argue with that. With Garza and what he's going to be at the next level.
Garza is going to get a chance, Trent.
He is. Yeah.
There's no question.
But in order to make that final step, you needed the consistency from Wieskamp. And a year ago, when things got tough, he didn't get tough with him.
Right.
He wilted.
Yes.
He floated to the corner. To see him against a team like Purdue that is going to body you, they're going to make it difficult. And even if Purdue fans, I saw on Twitter, not happy about the foul discrepancy, come on. It's like when the Michigan State fans or the Wisconsin fans complain about it. It just drives me nuts. You watch your basketball team, you know the way your team plays. There's going to be nights you're going to get hit with a lot of whistles. But to do that,
there weren't a lot of whistles in the game, period, for either side.
To continue to put your head down, to continue to go there, him, Toussaint did a lot too, but the most important component there is Joe Wieskamp.
Yeah.
He is so much more than just a good shooter from the outside. The size, the ability to get to the rim, and the way I was built, they need him to be that final team, to make that step and be a contender for a title, to be a team that can make a run and get into the second weekend and maybe more in the NCAA tournament. It's not Garza. It's Joe Wieskamp, and we're continuing to see that happen and play out at a big level, and he needs to be able to do it night in and night out, too.
No, absolutely, Trent, and I'd love this quote after the game last night. Christmas, just another day. We've got a basketball game. That's how they're looking at it. Some other things. Boy, Toussaint's fun to watch play. You're seeing some growth in there. Frederick, he's a good player in his own right. Connor McCaffrey sure struggles to shoot the basketball, but boy, does he see the floor well. He really does. He sees the play. where the play is going as well as anybody. Before it's happening, he knows where it's about to get to, if you get my point. And that's the real strength of Connor McCaffrey on the floor. Bohannon's Bohannon. He's going to have one of those nights where he just goes off. He's going to have nights where he struggles to shoot the basketball. He's kind of in the middle.
When those nights are starting to happen early, and you can see shots a little bit off with Bo.
Well, did you hear Hummel's take on it, that he's just coming back from injury, and it's the hip and it's the legs, and they're not quite there yet? That was Hummel, who I like, by the way. God,
yes,
he's good.
He is excellent. But if it's one of those games here, and you're taking on Rutgers, got them a little over a week away.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Rutgers, Ohio State, in the middle of the afternoon today.
a Michigan State, a Wisconsin, and Illinois. And you see early, J. Bo doesn't have it. It's one of those games. From what we've seen in the growth of Joe Toussaint,
I know where you're going.
Is that hook a little quicker?
Yeah.
I'm not in the camp of you need to change the starting
lineup.
No,
I'm with you. And there was a lot of that chatter after the loss. The loss, and it's been the loss. But no, you got to change things up. No, you don't.
No, you don't. I'm not there. But that hook being a little bit quicker, because Toussaint, you're seeing that maturation. It's the first time we saw him, boy, he's fast. He can play a little defense.
He was, yeah.
And he's also going to turn it over four times in 12 minutes of play.
Well, he had a couple of turnovers against Gonzaga.
Yes.
In like a minute, he had two bad ones, and McCaffrey grabbed him off the floor.
But then he'll also have that spurt where he gets a steal, and he makes a couple assists.
The wow moments.
And those are becoming more plentiful, and he's evening out a little bit more than what we saw. There's also going to be those games where you just look at it, and there were a few of those last year where Toussaint barely got off. He went up, played 4 minutes, and that was it. It was just, this is not your night.
Yeah.
And I think you're still going to see a little bit of that. So that's the great thing, though, about this team. If it's a night where Bohannon's not shooting it well and Toussaint's out of control and he just can't calm himself down, all right, Connor, you're on the point. And you can get away with that. Frederick, you can do that for a 3-4 minute stretch. This team is built in a way where they can play so many different guys in so many different ways. The quick hook on Toussaint. My other note, is it time for Keegan Murray's minutes to continue to increase?
You took the words right out of my mouth. I wasn't going to say minutes increase, but I was going to say that this kid has been maybe as big a revelation on this basketball team this year, I think. Patrick McCaffrey, we kind of knew what we saw him a little bit.
Yep.
But Keegan Murray, Trent, I mean, he's draining threes. He maybe only won last night, but he's not scared to shoot the basketball. He's not scared to... He's a smart basketball player.
Yes.
You can tell he grew up in a basketball family. He sees the game very, very well. Trent, he's been, to me, maybe the biggest surprise on... I didn't know what to expect. I had no idea.
It looked like in high school he was a kid that was going to go to play at Mankato State, Minnesota State.
Yeah.
D2 basketball.
Right.
And him and his brother, Chris, apparently they did get a Western Illinois offer. But I think I told you the story. I don't remember if I told it on air. I had a basketball college evaluator tell me at the time when they saw them in high school and heard that they got a Western Illinois offer, not a very good Summit League team, that he wasn't sure they'd be able to play for a bad Summit League team. That's where at least some talent evaluators were on them in high school. But they take that year of development, and they go to prep school. Now you're seeing it. And the basketball IQ, we've watched a lot of hoops. Anybody that's watched basketball, there's just those guys.
Yeah, Connor McCaffrey has it.
Yes, they're always around the ball. They know angles.
Yeah.
For him, for Murray, it's about the rebounding, and you can see that.
Yep.
It's just, there's certain guys. If you played hoops, you played with that guy. There's times that he's not very good, but you know, he gets every single rebound. Every long rebound seems to go to him. Whatever it is, every tip, every deflection, and that's what you're seeing with Keegan Murray. This kid, right now, I don't know what his average. He's probably averaging 8-9 minutes a game.
Yeah.
A few of those minutes that are going to Patrick start to go maybe back his way.
Maybe.
Because Patrick...
He's forcing Fran's hand. I agree.
What is his role going forward?
I think we're seeing what his role is. He's 10, 12 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, the second wave off the bench.
And maybe closer to 10 and closer to 15 now for Murray.
Look, I love his attitude. He's a McCaffrey.
Yep.
He's got that little chip, that little part of his game. I like that. Look, he's going to live his impact before his career is over, but this is a deep team. It's a good team. They played defense last night.
They did.
Which was great to see. And they wanted to play defense last night. It's one thing to play defense, another thing to want to and to accomplish it. And they did this last night. Here's another thing that came out of this game last night that's starting to become apparent to me. How many games do you think Iowa has left? They've played 8. In a season like this, So with the tournament and everything, though.
19, 22.
I use 20 just because it's, okay. It's for math, it's easier.
Yeah.
Luca Garza is going to leave the University of Iowa as the all-time leading scorer.
He's going to pass Roy Marble.
He's going to pass Roy Marble. If he averages 20,
uh-huh.
And last year he averaged 23,
mm-hmm.
He's going to pass him.
That's awesome.
Think about that.
Yeah.
He moved into third place last night. Now he's got to get past Aaron White, and he will within a couple of, probably a month, by the time the calendar turns to, midway through January. And then he's got, Marble's got, well, here, I got it in front of me. Let me find it real quick. Let's say there's 20 games left. Marble, 2,116 points. Aaron White, 1,859. Luka Garza now about 1,790.
Okay.
So if he averages 20 points, that's another 400 points before his career is over. That's 2,200 when it's all said and done.
Going to fly by that
He's going to fly by Roy Marble. Did you see that coming?
His freshman year?
No. Of course not.
No. There were times where we thought Nunji was the better player.
There were. Absolutely times. We debated that. A couple of times throughout that season.
Who would you rather have? Who's going to have the better career?
That's just it. Look, Nunji's a nice player. Garza, I watched him on the free throw line last night, and you can see the development, the physical development. That's what leads me to believe this kid's going to have an NBA career because there's still some bulk that he can put on that frame.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to play in the NBA. He can step back and knock down that three, as we've seen time after time after time. This time last year was Europe at best. Yeah, he's just not going to get. He's not going to play in the States. If he wants to make some money, he's going to have to go overseas. I don't see it. I don't. I think this year. I think this has completely changed the way he's developed physically. He's got a chance.
He's a star offensively.
Yeah.
The foot speed is never going to be great.
Nope.
Never even going to be good.
Yep.
But the way he plays offense and his ability to shoot it from the outside, and just the way that flick of the wrist, just how pretty that thing is coming off for a big man. Absolutely love it. The pick and roll, they went late as he faded back and didn't roll. Instead, he floated back to the three-point line and the pass from Bohannon. Just a thing of beauty there. Mm-hmm.
Boy, him and Bohannon got some chemistry, don't they?
They do, yeah. They played a lot of basketball together. One other note here. Me and my text chain group of buddies, we have some fun with the plus-minus. Because for whatever reason, one of my friends thinks it's the stupidest stat ever. And there, you can see that. So the best plus-minus on the floor for Iowa last night was C.J. Frederick. He was plus 25. Iowa was... had 25 more points when he was on the floor than Purdue. Guess who had the worst plus minus last night?
I would have no. So it's got to be a starter. I don't know.
It's not. It's not a starter.
Huh.
It's Keegan Murray. In fact, he was
in the limited time, and he scored 7 points. Did he not?
He did. He had 7 points.
And what did he play? 12 minutes.
Minutes, and his plus minus was minus eight. The only player on the whole Hawkeye team that played that had a negative plus minus.
Well, they had a couple of spurts where they weren't scoring, but look.
Isn't that weird, though?
Yeah, it is. It is.
It's a stat that there needs to be a lot more context to it. You can't just rely on it.
I'm with you.
And I can understand now why my buddy kind of hates that number. Because if you would say that before, you watch that game and say, the worst in this metric is Keegan Murray. He said, well, that's a stupid metric.
I would not have thought that. All right, so this, before the game last night, I want to say this because it's really worth it. So Cindy, my wife, we jumped in the car at right when the sun went down.
Yeah,
and we went to Beaverdale to see the lights that you've been telling. Birchie wrote about it in the Des Moines Register. Ashley Avenue and Willis Lane or something starts with the W.
Ashby.
Ashby Avenue.
It's Ashby Lane, isn't it?
I think it's Avenue. Oh,
okay.
The other one's the lane. It starts with the W. But anyways, it's in Beaverdale. And we got there at, 5:30 or whatever. Trent, I'm so glad I did it. And this kind of stuff does nothing for me, and it never has.
Yes. I think most people know that, yeah.
I'm really, really glad that, A, I read the piece, that, B, you encouraged me, and that when I told my wife that I'm, maybe we'll do this, and she wasn't letting me back out of it for nothing. It was good. It kind of got me in the Christmas mood a little bit. And Trent, the neighborhood goes all out.
Yes, it does.
And it's not like you got to carve out an hour to see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a circle thing, and everybody is in the whole neighborhood does it. And then you go back across the street. There's another street just to do the circle, and then across the street. I don't even. Maybe it's Ash.
It's Ashby Avenue and Wallace Lane.
Wallace Lane.
Yep.
And then across the street is it. whatever it is. But you can see the lights across the street. It goes on. And go across the street, too, because they go all out. It's really, really well done by a pretty cool neighborhood in Des Moines. And if you... You know, if you want to pile the kids in the car. Look, there's a lot of traffic. There was last night at 5:30. There was a huge, long limo that obviously some people had rented to go out and look at the Christmas lights. And I got to assume it's going to be a madhouse tonight and tomorrow night, specifically. But boy, oh boy, it's sure worth it. I'm glad I did. And thank you, Tommy Birch, for writing about it, because I had no idea. I'd never heard of it before. And then you said you'd done it, and it was worth it. I'm glad I did.
Yeah, we're it's on our agenda for Christmas Eve.
You're going tomorrow night?
Yeah.
Because today is the day before.
Right. We were hoping that this nice weather would have continued. Does not look so like much. The case. Last year when we went on actual Christmas Day or evening.
And was it crowded then?
It was. And it was super nice. We got out of the car, in fact, and it wasn't around Ashby. It was another place that had a lot of lights up. I think it was maybe up in your neighborhood, up by Ankeny somewhere. And we got out of the car, just walked around, and walked the whole thing because it was that nice. We were hoping maybe 2 years in a row, and not going to be the case.
Got really close, Trent. By the time
7 degrees,
right? By the time the Fanatics get off the air tonight, they might be driving home in a snowstorm.
Yeah. Very quickly,
we come
how
in
things
get 50 degrees for our shift, and the Fanatics will get out of here and punch the clock before they leave, and it'll be ice cold. Anyways, glad I did. If
little Christmas spirit
to do,
for
indeed,
you.
It changed my outlook on the next, because it's going to be really weird this year. I mean, for
because you said the boys aren't coming.
Nobody, Cindy and I, first time that we're going to spend Christmas alone, which is weird, kind of.
Yeah, like right, kind of like any other day.
Kind of like any other day. Yeah, kind of like that. Anyways, 2020, then we're going to jump in the car and her father's in a home. Mm-hmm. We're going to go stand outside his window like the rest of the country is, right? And just wave and hi.
Merry Christmas.
Weird.
It is.
Stephen M. Sipple, final appearance for SIP this year. Did you watch any Nebraska-Wisconsin yesterday?
Just a little bit.
I watched probably 15 minutes of it. Wisconsin was pulling away in the basketball game. Nebraska gave them a run. The Big 12 tilt last night, Trent, I was wrong on Kansas when I saw him early in the year.
Yeah.
Kansas is Kansas.
The Wilson kid has been a big
Isn't
difference.
Isn't he something? Yeah. Jalen Wilson, redshirt freshman, I want to say. Boy, oh boy, 6'8". Yeah, he's had it going. He's been a huge difference in that basketball team.
And when Braun's shooting like that, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I couldn't. Brown, I think he goes by. Yeah. But it's spelled Braun. Mm-hmm. But he couldn't miss.
What is he, 6'7", I think it was. And he is a guy that is easy to dislike. Mm-hmm. He's in the mold of the Jeff Boshy Kansas players.
What's the kid from Wichita State that was balding, that kind of player?
Oh, yeah. What was his name? Just a couple years ago, right?
Just a couple of years ago, yeah. What was his name?
Oh, man.
I can picture him. I felt bad for him. I mean, going in an opposing gym, like Greg Brunner, right?
Right.
He's losing his hair. You're still in college, and you got that look. Oh, my gosh. Anyways, it'll come to me. Not that big a deal. Stephen M. Sipple will put a bow on Nebraska's season as they finish 3-5. Then we'll talk to Bill Bender in this hour. We got a T-shirt to give away. We're going to do that early in hour number two. Tom Cakert on the Hawks. Miller and Condon till noon. Des Moines Sports Station. It's on the tip of my tongue. 1460 KXNO and 106.0.
And the Ad Council.
It's time for SIP. Stephen M. Sipple from the Lincoln Journal-Star talks with myself and Ken on Nebraska football.
I mean, I have a radio show. We have callers. I pay attention to my Twitter notifications and all that. There's definitely some frustration.
We talk Cornhuskers, and you never know what else is going to come up. With 30 years on the Nebraska beat, here's Stephen M. Sipple.
As long as they're paying me to talk, I'm just going to keep doing it.
All right, 10:30 on a Wednesday morning. I'm going to put that intro away for a year. Melancholy Wednesday here. Stephen M. Sipple, Lincoln Journal star. Oh, Sip, good to talk to you, my friend. Merry Christmas from Trent and I. I'm surprised that there is no game for Nebraska this week, Sip. Maybe we'll start there. I'll get into the Rutgers thing. I watched it start to finish. I couldn't turn it off. I was into that game last Friday night from Piscataway. But Are you surprised, Sip, that if did I because following you on Twitter as I do and reading your stuff at the Lincoln Journal Star as I do, I got the feeling you thought that the Huskers would accept the bull bid should one come their way. How big of a surprise?
I was pretty surprised, not shocked. I thought when I saw the sideline late in the game, like you remember we were watching.
Yeah, they were into it.
Yeah, when Adrian got that first down on 4th and 2, got an 11-yard run, the sideline was really erupted. And then I came to understand or found out that a lot of players had already had booked flights home for Sunday. So that was obviously a red flag. And there, you know, they had a vote and all that. I don't know I had a pretty good idea what the final tally was. And the only thing I'd say, and I think you got to emphasize this discussion, there were a lot of players who wanted to play. I mean, there was enough that didn't, though. And yeah, it's quite a topic around here. What I find, it's very generational. Like, you know, people our age have a harder time understanding it than younger people. I feel like a lot of the discussion is cut across generational lines. I was talking to a Division I coach yesterday. He said something really interesting. He's a head coach, Division I. He wouldn't want me saying who it was, but they're going to a bowl. But they had 8 to 10 guys opt out. And what he says, he said, "Hey, Ziff, kids just don't want to play football as much as they used to." Yeah, I get it. I've kind of gotten that sense, but it's always interesting to hear it from someone who's directly involved.
It is, yeah. And yeah, kind of shocking in a way, but in a way it isn't. Sip, being on the beat, talking to the people that you talk to, the knowledge that you have, it's been a trying season. Just how difficult do you think this has been, though? And mental health is such an important component here. For guys like the Nebraska guys, it's been a trying season. It's been a lot of frustration in there. For every positive, it feels like there's another step back that comes right behind it. Just these guys getting back in the mental frame and knowing you got a big offseason still in front of you. And spring practice and the winter workouts and getting up at 5 a.m. to lift weights in the dead of cold in winter, that's still in front of you there. Just how tough has this been from everybody that you've talked to?
Oh, it's a challenge for sure. I'm not insensitive to that part of it. It's in Nebraska, Frost brought back the guys early thinking that the Big Ten season would start on time. Mm-hmm. So they've been, you know, the team has been together since really April. Mm-hmm. You know, I've heard a lot of coaches say the guys have been together since June. In Nebraska, it's in other places, I'm sure, too. It's much longer than that. I guess, yeah, I understand that part. But, man, I've heard old-timers say, look, I mean, we used to, our practices right. used to be a lot harder. Like this coach said, he told his team, you guys, we've only played 7 games. I mean, we've played 2/3 of the amount of games we usually play. Why is everybody so tired? You know, I mean, obviously, and it goes without saying, it's a draining year for everybody. Mm-hmm. But hey, I'm going to tell you something. There's that discussion, and I respect it. But I emphasize the other side. There were a lot of guys who wanted to play, and there are a lot of guys who want to play. And those are the sort of guys more of the sort of guys you want in your program.
Stephen M. Sipple from the Lincoln Journal Star is our guest. Well, Sip, just a couple of things from the game itself. By the way, Taylor Britt, is he the best player on the team? Every time I watch Nebraska, which is quite a bit, he's unbelievable.
Yeah, I always am amazed how closely you watch Nebraska, you guys. It's, yes, he has really risen, Cam Taylor Britt. I mean, going into the season, we didn't look at Cam Taylor Britt the way we look at him now. I mean, I don't think anybody had totally envisioned this rise.
Yeah.
We wondered in the media corps, at least the Lincoln Journal Star guys, if he would find a position. He was sort of a tweener. You know, he played safety and corner last year. We didn't really know where he would fit. Well, he's purely a corner now. And yeah, he's become a very good player.
No, indeed he has. So you know what else was apparent, Sip? And I go back to the Minnesota game. For whatever reason, I think Frost outthought himself. Went with the, you know, as few times as they ran the ball and getting away from the running game as they did. They emphasized it this past week against Rutgers. Maybe obviously there was a matchup there, but boy, oh boy, if that wasn't Mills' best game, it had to be toward the top of it. Maybe saved his best for last, but you couldn't tackle him, Sip.
Yeah, he looked good, and the offensive line really helped that. His legs looked live. Dedrick Mills, I thought that was the thing I thought right away. He had more bounce. And some of that is the result of, you know, he hurt his knee early in the Penn State game. So, you know, he effectively missed three games. And you know, he came back against Purdue, and his legs didn't look like they looked at Rutgers. So, you know, he had time off. He didn't have the wear and tear as much because he's just rehabbing. And yeah, he had a lot of bounce. But you got to give a lot of credit to the guys up front, including a true freshman that started at left tackle.
Yeah.
Yeah, in place of an opt out, Brendan Hymus. So yeah, that kid Turner Corcoran is that's a name for you guys to remember. He was a highly touted recruit, and he looked pretty good against a decent defensive line.
So you mentioned Hymus. He's off to the NFL, didn't play in that final game. We know Colin Miller, his career is over, retiring from the sport with that spinal injury. But there's a lot of seniors that have an opportunity, will have a decision to make, either trying to make a go of it in the NFL or coming back for another season. What do you know? What have you heard on that front? I think of a guy like Will Honus. You know, what is his prospects at the next level? He's been a really nice player, and they got a lot of those senior defenders that could come back for another year. How many of them do you anticipate will be back, Sip?
Yeah, Trent, they have seven seniors on defense.
Mm-hmm.
Critical. They're critical guys. And Eric Chenander, the defensive coordinator, has said he'd welcome them all back. Mm. Of course he would.
Right.
They're good. To a man, each of them had a good season pretty much. So, Trent, I don't know. It's interesting you mention Honus because he's one of the ones, you know, there's been some sort of undercurrent buzz about perhaps coming back. I have heard that. JoJo Doman, I know after the Iowa game, fact, I had heard that there was a consideration of JoJo coming back. I don't know. So there's seven guys. I wouldn't be surprised if a couple came back. I wouldn't want to venture to guess exactly who, but I don't know. There's some guys like Deontay Williams who would be great for Nebraska to have back. He's 24 years old. You know, some of those guys want to start making money. He has a child, so there's that consideration. But yeah, all that stuff, the key date is January 17th. That's when they got it. That's when the NFL essentially mandates they have to decide by.
Interesting. Culp Kickers, he's coming back apparently, and he had a really nice year, grad transfer, so he fits.
Yeah.
Stephen M. Sipple, Lincoln Journal Star. So, Sip, of the teams that you saw, well, you know what? Let me do this differently. Let me scrap that one because I want to get your take on what's going on in Illinois. Brett Bielema back in the Big Ten West.
Yeah.
Of course, Wisconsin coach played at Iowa, and here he goes back to the state he was born in, Illinois. I think it's good for the Big Ten West, Sip. I hope Fitzgerald stays at Northwestern. I'm glad Bielema is at Illinois, rather. Maybe that's not the consensus amongst the Hawkeye fans, but I think it's great that he's at Illinois. Your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the Big Ten West just got better. I'd frame it up that way. I've always been a Bielema fan. I think he's very sharp. I watched his press conference the other day, and I think it just seems like a great fit. You know, he's a guy from Prophetstown, Illinois. He emphasizes controlling the line of scrimmage, and they'll run downhill, and that's what Lovey did. I just think Bielema will coach it better. And I think he's more in tune with the college game than Lovey. Bielema's track record speaks for itself. Now people are going to shift the conversation to, wow, well, what happened at Arkansas?
Right.
Yeah, he had a couple bad seasons, but he had three good seasons at Arkansas. And I think that experience will really benefit him. I think it fuels it. So I believe that Illinois is catching him at a good time. When he was at Wisconsin, he was pretty young. And you know, with youth, you know, there's you get distractions and all that. And I think there was some of that going on at Wisconsin, although he did a great job. Arkansas, I think that job will help him a lot with this job. He learned a lot. I'm sure he learned a lot from what you know, coaching in that the most difficult conference in a really difficult division. And now he gets back a little bit more into his comfort zone, both in terms of the league and the, you know, his surroundings. And he's 50 years old now. And this is, you know what? I think it's a great hire. I know they looked hard at Lance Leipold. I know mm-hmm. that for a fact.
Mm-hmm.
I think the world of the Buffalo coach. He used to work here as an on-campus recruiting coordinator. I've known Lance for 25 years. He would have been a great hire too, but I think they got the right guy.
Well, fingers crossed, and I like your take on the experience that he gained at Arkansas. I believe it's going to help him as well. Sip, listen, really enjoyed this Wednesdays when we reconvene every week to talk about the Big Ten and about Nebraska. I love doing it. Look forward to doing it next year with you, Stephen M., and perhaps before Nebraska and Iowa meet on the hardwood, we can find some time, and in the spring we'll talk as well. But, Sip, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Thank you for doing this, my friend. I appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you very much, guys. Merry Christmas to you, and, yeah, we'll talk soon, okay?
I look forward to it. Thanks, pal. Good to talk to you. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Stephen M. Sipple, Lincoln Journal star. Love the segment with Sip.
He's a fun guy to talk football with.
He really is. I've known him for almost 30 years. Good dude. Mm-hmm. Anyways, we'll take a timeout. Come back with Bill Bender from the Sporting News. More college football conversation. We're going to give away a KXNO shirt to kick off our number. I had a trivia question that I thought it's too tough.
Oh, too tough.
It's too tough.
Okay.
Way too tough.
So you're coming up with something a little easier?
A little easier, right. Yeah, but I like to give it to people that... Here's the deal. A week from Friday, KXNO turns 20 years old.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the path that we've gone down with the first two, and we'll do that one more with this one as well. But we'll do that. Just kick off the 11 o'clock hour. Tom Kakert on the Hawks. We'll get back to Iowa as we continue on here. It's Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO.
Spirits competition.
Ken Miller, Trent Condon, Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM, this is KXNO.
All right, welcome back, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, 106.3 FM. Moments away from Bill Bender from the Sporting News. Just a little breaking news during the timeout here. Max Olson from The Athletic is reporting that Iowa State's defensive tackle, Latrell Bankston, is in the transfer portal. That seemingly comes out of nowhere, doesn't it?
Very important piece,
yes.
Taking over the role vacated by Ray Lima in the middle of that defense and played at a high, high level.
The kick when he would get a sack?
Uh-huh. What do you read into that? Anything?
I don't know what that's a Chris Williams.
Lots of guys go into the portal. Not all of them transfer.
True story.
Remember, including Davion Nixon.
It's a good thing he stuck around.
Yes, an All-American.
For himself and for the university. Bill Bender covers college football for the Sporting News. Bill, Trent and Ken, thanks for being patient, first of all. Thanks for coming on. Compliments of the season. How are you, Bill Bender?
I am doing well. Merry Christmas to both you guys.
Merry Christmas.
Doing our All-American team right now, just finishing that up, and without giving anything away, there'll probably be a couple Iowa and Iowa State guys on there.
I had a feeling, right? One of them on each side of the ball. Those are the easy ones, no doubt about that. Well, bowl season is upon us. We'll get into we might save those for next week, Bill, because we're going to impose on you one more time, if you like it or not. But Heisman season is upon us. I know you're a voter, and I know you can't say who you ultimately decided to put at the top of your list. Here's the question I have, though, Bill, for... I think Trevor Lawrence is the best player in college football, and I think that that's what the award is entrusted to do, is to award college football's best player with the Heisman Trophy. I get the Mac Jones love seemingly came out of nowhere and had some huge shoes to fill. Trask has looked good. Alabama's got a couple of other guys, Smith and Najee Harris. But boy, oh boy, when I watch college football, Bill, Trevor Lawrence to me is the best player in college football.
Yeah, it made it hard to vote because Alabama had the trio. Kyle Trask had 4,000 yards in 11 games. I think that without giving away my vote, I'll just say this. I think Mac Jones was the most efficient passer this year. His passer rating's ahead of Joe Burrow. I think Devontae Smith was the best skill position player in the game, no question. The way he took over the game as a receiver. And Trevor Lawrence is kind of in that Peyton Manning era area where
good.
We have to reward that career, but we understand that the Heisman is a year-to-year thing. It made it very difficult because I'm with you. I mean, if I had to, you said, best player in college football, who is it?
Mm-hmm.
It's either Lawrence or Devontae Smith, in my opinion. It made it a tough choice.
You know, that's this real quick, Trent. Let me jump in. The Peyton Manning, that's really good, Bill, because Woodson won it. But Peyton Manning was the best player in college football that year. That's a really good comparison, Bill Bender. Hats off to you for that one.
Well, I disagree. I thought Woodson was the best player that year. And they both went on NFL careers that were unbelievable.
Both Hall of Fame, or one will be soon this year.
What are we going to do with Lawrence when we're 10 years down the line? We are in danger of saying, if they win it all, I would say he's the greatest college football quarterback ever. But he could also be the greatest college football quarterback ever that never was a Heisman finalist.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Three Alabama players. We're talking about
splitting the vote.
Guys that are just involved in the playoff. The Heisman Trophy. In the grand scheme of things, I mean, boy, for me, it's not the award it once was, and it just feels like pretty much got to be a quarterback for a really good team, or you have to be the best team in the country. There's no more of those stories. What was the back in the 80s, the Sports Illustrated put that out, the guy that was playing D3 football. Randy Moss of past eras.
Mm-hmm. Davis.
Chad Pennington. Troy Davis at Iowa State. Those guys aren't getting a sniff anymore. I think it's taken away part of the love that I've always had of college football, the little guy.
Hey, I pretended to be Gordy Lockbaum in the backyard.
Yeah, there you go.
The Holy Cross. I'm dead serious. I remember the clips of him. And I was like, that guy's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Who's he? And I think I was 8 years old or something. And remember there was a time when Tim Brown and Desmond Howard both won Heisman trophies within a 4-year stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't happened since. And maybe if Devontae wins it, and that's a possibility.
It is.
Maybe it opens. It is a. The receiver position, in some ways, I think the numbers get inflated. But, man, between him and Ja'Marr Chase the last couple of years, you're seeing some just special talent at the position. You mentioned Randy Moss. He's the last one where I got in an argument with one of my coworkers. I'm not going to out which one. He tried to tell me Justin Jefferson was having a Randy Moss season. I was like, you don't remember Randy Moss then.
Mm-hmm. And Jefferson's a really nice player. You know, Moss kind of opened his mouth earlier this week. And you know what? I'm on his side. I think he's the best receiver to ever play the game. Jerry Rice was, he worked at his craft like none other. And Moss plays when he wants to play. And that was the knock against him. But boy, oh boy, this kid was gifted. I mean, just uncoverable. Didn't go across the middle. Didn't have to. Is he? I know you're a college guy, but you're an NFL guy. Your team's the Packers. You write a lot about the NFL once college comes to an end. Where are you in that debate as to who is the best receiver of all time, Bill Bender?
If we're not talking about quarterbacks, because they always get put up, you know, like Brady and Montana are the two best quarterbacks to me. So let's just push them aside for a second. The three best NFL players in my lifetime, other than quarterbacks, would be Jerry Rice. I just think he's the best. I mean, he had 1,000 yards when he was 40 years old.
Right.
So I take him over Moss, but not by much. And then two defensive players, Lawrence Taylor and Reggie White. And they're two different players, and they're two very different personalities. But, you know, you still hear stories to this day about how teams had to game plan around those two.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't block Reggie White. He would just bully you over. He was the strongest SOB maybe that ever played the position. Whether you watched him as an Eagle, whether you watched him as a Packer, he was unblockable. I'd put Elway in the conversation. I'm a Bronco fan. I get it. Anyways.
Yeah, and that's fair. I mean, because he's got the arm talent of, and then you take it to the modern day, and you know, since we're on NFL a little bit, we might as well go ahead and say it. If the Super Bowl turns out to be Kansas City and Green Bay, that would be the best case scenario for the networks, because you get Mahomes, who just Mahomes is ridiculous, guys.
Yep.
He's ridiculous. And then Now, y'all know I'm a Packers fan, mm-hmm. so it's biased.
I want to see that Super Bowl. I want to see that game, Bill.
Aaron's balling this year. Yeah. He's played out of his mind. He's got a good offense around him. Their defense is a concern. But, you know, how fun are the AFC playoffs going to be with some of these teams mm-hmm. coming up and some of these teams kind of trending down?
Yeah, the Bills are absolutely legit. Titans, Colts in the conversation.
It's wild.
It really is. It really is.
Well, Bill, we'll talk to you again next week, and we'll preview the big bowl matchups. We'll get ready for the semifinals and get some deeper thoughts. Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson v. Ohio State. But before then, what bowl game has you excited? I'm sure you'll be watching them all. You'll have them on and watching with various degrees of locked-in-ness, I guess, if that's even a word. It isn't. But which one does it for you? Is it? Well, I think I know your answer, but go ahead.
No, I mean, there's a couple out there. I watched some of BYU last night, mm-hmm. and I, like I told you before I come on, that I had to get some rapping done, right. and I'm still not done with that, and I hate rapping, and I'm terrible at it, so I'll probably sit and watch some games today. I'm curious about Indiana-Ole Miss, honestly, mm-hmm. because I think Ole Miss is going to put some points up. Mm-hmm. Indiana has the other quarterback. Anytime a team, and it's why I'm curious about Texas A&M, North Carolina, too, anytime a team takes to Twitter and starts crying about being left out, sometimes you can be lose focus on the team you're playing, and I think those two are going to be very interesting games outside of the two big ones.
Mm. Coastal Carolina Liberty, day after Christmas.
That's where I thought
my attention as well.
That'd be a good one, too. Yeah. I don't want to disrespect the Chanticleers and Grayson McCall and what they have. There are going to be a lot of points in that one. And again, if you've got in-laws in town or family around, it's an excuse to maybe – they have to work for 10 minutes. I'm joking, but you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean. Played that card many times, in fact. Hey, Bill, last thing. Watching Zach Wilson, there's some people that have elevated him above Justin Fields, that he's going to be the second quarterback drafted. You've seen Fields a million times. Zach Wilson, we watch him on TV for BYU. He's got a cannon. He really does. Is maybe Zach Wilson the second quarterback? What would you do, Bill Bender?
Pushed himself into that argument
he
that
did.
Trey Lance was supposed to be in. Yeah. So the combine, he could be the combine riser that Jordan Love was last year, because the curiosity factor is out there now because he went out and played a great season. And I could see it. I don't know. Could the Jets, let's say the Jets are at two, could they talk themselves into Zach Wilson mm-hmm. over Fields? It's entirely possible. But we'll see. I mean, I think this season did affirm what we already know, though. I think there is a giant gap between Trevor Lawrence and everybody else in terms of NFL potential.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bill Bender, we appreciate what you do for us. We'll talk to you next week if your schedule allows. Merry Christmas to you. Get that wrapping done, Bill Bender. Appreciate you coming on.
I'll get after it. Thanks so much, guys. Merry Christmas. Talk to you next week.
Indeed you will. Thank you, Bill Bender from the Sporting News. Good stuff there out of Bill. Who would you vote for?
For Heisman?
Yep.
Breece Hall. I don't like the award anymore.
Yeah, he's lost some luster in your eyes.
It has.
We'll come back. Hour number two coming up. We're going to give one of our listeners an opportunity to win one of those KXNO t-shirts. Tom Cakert is here in 25 minutes. Miller and Condon with an hour to go on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM.